But we've dragged him back in studio. The World Cup continues. It's been wild so far. It was wild again today. England through, Sweden through. Here's our good buddy Stephen Caldwell back in studio. What's happening, Stephen?
Oh, not a lot. Just watching a couple of football games, trying to
not bad,
enjoy
huh?
the action.
Not bad. What was? I gotta actually let me get to something quickly before we get to the actual games. You posted on Twitter a video of your two boys playing FIFA recently. I don't know if anybody's seen it, but find it because it's up on your Twitter account.
Yeah.
I couldn't pick up on their accents. Are they Canadian, Scottish, English?
It's kind of a bit of everything. So they were one was born in the outskirts of Manchester, one was born in the outskirts of Sunderland, and obviously they have a Scottish dad, and they've been in Canada since they were, five and six maybe. Mm-hmm. So they've got a bit of everything to their accent, a bit of twang, Canadian twang, a bit of Scottish colloquialisms mixed in there from me, unfortunately.
Right.
And then they got their mum's English, so they're born in England and their mum's English, so they're pretty messed up when it comes to accents.
Man, it was a great video watching them play. Yeah,
thank
it was
you.
Really good, but I'm like, I think I hear some Canadian in there, but there's definitely some British and definitely some Scottish. Anyway, they'd be excited. England gets through on penalties, though.
Yeah.
And does this save them a little bit because of their history? I mean, people over there would have been going crazy, right?
Yeah. I mean, what a dramatic game. The scrutiny over there is incredible. And, you know, with the Barrios incident and then heading into the last minutes and Yerry Mina scoring that goal and then just the dread normally that comes with England going into extra time, heading towards penalty kicks. Normally they're so anxious about that with their failures in the past, 1990, 98, 2006. And you just think, oh, here we go again. They're going to have a dramatic failure. And no, it wasn't the case. They were brilliant through penalty kicks, totally prepared. Gareth Southgate had, you know, sort of addressed the elephant in the room. It has been something in English football for a long time where people were dead anxious heading into penalty kicks. Well, he got out there and he said, let's talk about it. Let's make sure we're psychologically prepared and ready for that. And let's go through a routine. Now, you can never recreate what happens in front of 45,000-50,000 people and the pressure that comes from that occasion, but you can be prepared for that. You can decide who's going to take the penalties, where they're going to go. The keeper does his homework on the penalty kicks, little silly little things that my colleague and partner Christian Jack would be way better prepared to explain to you than me. But, you know, handing the goalkeeper, getting the football, handing it to the player who's going to come so he doesn't have to go and find the ball, and then there's more anxiety to the walk up and like really subtle little things that are very important. And England were super prepared today, and I'm not saying that Colombia weren't, but England deserved that success just because of the preparation they put into it.
Well, and this is why they lost to Belgium, this is why they wanted to lose to Belgium, because you look at their side of the bracket, they've got Sweden next, and it's Russia, Croatia on the other side of this bracket in the quarterfinals. So of those four teams, Sweden, England, Russia, Croatia, is England the favourite? I mean, how would you rank those teams in terms of favourites?
I mean, it's very close. I think the worst team's Russia, but they're the hosts, and they've just beat Spain, you know. So they are on cloud nine, and they have that home momentum going for them. So I wouldn't want to play them, first and foremost. I think Croatia are the best side. They're the best football players, in my opinion, and they play very good international football. They control the tempo, and maybe they're lacking a real world-class striker at this stage of his career. Mandzukic is a bit older, but they've got a lot of quality with Modric and Rakitic and Brozovic and the other guys. And then you have the tough Swedes, who are difficult to beat, have a distinct game plan, have been magnificent in this tournament, beat Italy in the playoff to get here, so all that momentum going for them. And then you have this young, exuberant England side who, again, are on a high from the penalty shootout and what they accomplished through that victory there. So really tight. I mean, it's not this sort of glamour side of the draw, and everybody feels like they have a chance of getting to the final, and so they should, but it's going to be very exciting, the quarterfinals.
It's been a great tournament so far. The amazing thing about these England games is it's not just penalties that's been part of it. It's been controversy.
Yeah.
I was in San Etienne in 98 when Beckham was sent off. They blew a 2-1 lead, lost in penalties, and it was almost, you know, outside the stadium afterwards was this anger. Barrios doesn't get a red card in the course of the game. Did you think it should have been?
Yeah, I do think it should have been a red card. I thought that when I first saw it, I thought that he put his head in towards his chest, and then he maybe caught a part of his chin in the way up. But when I looked at it again in the replay, he put his head in towards his chest. Now, that alone may have been a red card. You can't headbutt somebody anywhere. We saw the famous or infamous incident with Zidane in 2006 final, where he headbutted Materazzi right into the head, and of course way more force than what this was. But you can't lead with your head and get away with it in soccer. But as he led with his head, he then moved, had another little movement up towards the chin of Henderson. I thought it was a clear red card, and I think video assisted refereeing, VAR, has been fantastic throughout this World Cup. I really do, and I think it's something for the future that's going to get better and better as we refine it. But I thought I had a bad moment there. I thought I really should have stepped in and helped Mark Geiger. If you notice that the US referee Mark Geiger was talking to three or four other Colombian players in the wall, trying to sort out the distance that they were back from the free kick, and he could possibly see what happened, and he clearly went to his ear, and assuming he got word from his assistant referee, because at that moment VAR's not allowed to suggest a yellow, which is the card that he gave. So VAR should have came in for me, should have asked Mark Geiger to go to the screen and have a look and just see what he thought from the incident, to give the guy more time to make a decision. They sort of hung him out to dry a little bit there. So it was a bad moment for VAR, and it created this real nasty taste, nasty atmosphere in the game. The Colombians were play acting, the English started to do it as well, and it was a really unsavoury football match. And I think it was because of that moment that happened with Barrios sticking his head into Henderson.
Stephen Caldwell, our TSN soccer analyst in studio. Speaking of the antics and the dramatics, Neymar was on display over the weekend.
Yeah. Just stopped rolling now, I think.
He did, actually. Yeah, and no response either, because no cards going his way or the opposite way, I guess. But, I mean, this guy, I enjoy, obviously, he's a brilliant player.
Yeah.
You know, and I like to hate watch him to an extent, and I guess Brazil also, because of their overall success throughout my lifetime and throughout pretty much anyone's lifetime who's still kicking around. But where do you stand on this? I mean, as a former player yourself,
yeah,
and now as an analyst, because it's one thing to go for a card, it's another thing to be a complete goof.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like to me. The antics yesterday were a joke.
Yeah, they were a joke, but I have to analyse on what I see, and there was a nasty little stamp from Layún, the Mexican player. He came over and he tried to be cute, and he came down in the top of his ankle. So that was a red card, in my opinion. Now, what Neymar did after that, and I'm one of his harshest critics, it really annoys me, as you can probably imagine, a tough Scottish shitter half like me. The rolling around and the antics and the amateur dramatics, I call it, from Neymar was just... It's been horrible the entire World Cup, and it's such a shame because he's a fantastic football player. Just, you know, he's trying to draw attention, I understand, and Henderson did it a little bit today, let's be honest. He took a bit of a clip to the chin, and he went down like, you know, he had been punched by someone 6'4" and 17 stone. So everybody in football does it. Everybody does the same things.
That's about 200 pounds.
I was going to say 17 stone.
Translate that, yeah. Everybody does it, but Neymar takes it to another level, and I think it's because of his quality and the attributes he has as a football player that really annoys people even more. And I didn't like that. I didn't like the rolling around. He's did it all competition.
Now, do you think that's something that FIFA addresses with these players? That, hey, like, come on, something happens, don't be too overdramatic, because fans really don't want to see that stuff.
Yeah, no, I don't think FIFA address it at all, and I don't think football in general addresses it. That's the problem. They need to start, you know, getting really clear on simulation, play acting, start creating punishments. It's the only way that these players will stop it, because it's been a part of the game for years and years, and it will continue, and Neymar's not the only guy that does it. He's the scapegoat, and I reiterate, I think it's because he is such a good football player. But everybody does it, so we need to come up with laws or punishments that prohibit that make people think twice about rolling around and try to embellish an action by another player.
Couple of days off for you guys now, or what?
Yep.
Dragging you in tomorrow?
What are you
going
to do?
Well, I have MLS tomorrow. I got a TFC game, so it's not really a couple of days off, but a couple of days rest from the long live action, and it'll be nice to just settle a little bit and get ready for what's going to be an extremely exciting end to this competition.
2026 World Cup in Canada, USA, Mexico. Could we look for the Caldwell boys to be...
Maybe. Yeah. I said that to them the minute the draw
came. For Canada. Get them
well,
back for
I
Canada.
I looked at them and I says, you know what? You guys will be pushing that. It'll be tough, but there's something to push for. Maybe you can play for Canada, and looked at me, I'll be playing for England. I'm like, oh, well, okay. There's still some time for them to be convinced that Canada's an issue. So if John Herdman's listening, he should probably come round to my house and speak to my kids at this moment.
Start recruiting now.
Hang on. Out of the teams left, who do you think's the standout favourite right now?
Brazil are my favourites. I think they're the best team in the competition. I think they've got a solid defence. They have that X factor of Neymar and Coutinho, the real quality, somebody that can change the game in a moment. And they're tactically very good. Chichi's probably the best coach in the competition, in my opinion, too. So I make them favourites, but as we've seen, this is a World Cup of shocks. Belgium will have other things to say in that quarter final, and they have Uruguay and France waiting. So it's going to be amazing.
Can't wait for it.
You didn't like to hear that, did you?
No, I'm fine with that. I don't really care that much. When's Canada in the World Cup?
Yeah.
Good seeing you, Stephen.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for popping
in. Good to see you.
Stephen Caldwell, our TSN soccer analyst, doing great work again on the panel. And quarterfinals up next on TSN. And you can hear every game right here on TSN Radio.